The Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with our international team, Dr. Mike Heaton, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Andrea Klarić, businessman and independent journalist from Croatia. And we represent Europe and the U.S. and bringing you the news on what's happening on the international front related to the COVID shots and continuing tightening of the vice of tyranny with the World Health Initiative to take over global control of public health response. And with that World Health Organization meeting coming up just a short time from now, May 27th through May 31st, 2024, the World Health Organization is poised to sign a global pandemic public health response treaty without disclosing what's in the documents they expect all of the member nations to sign. And that's in violation of the very rules for such treaties. And Dr. Gilthorpe, Dr. Yeadon, and Andrea Klarić in Europe on the ground will be discussing what they're seeing in Europe about the pressure to sign the WHO pandemic treaty and cede all control on public health responses worldwide to Tedros, the dictator in chief of the World Health Organization, acting as a puppet of the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, and the Communist Chinese Party, who are the major funders for the World Health Organization. It's a very chilling scenario. And if you think the lockdowns and mandates, unlawful mandates under COVID were bad, what lies ahead under this World Health Organization control of pandemic public health response for every nation on earth is far worse, orders of magnitude worse. So we're going to start today discussing that. Discussing the meeting that's coming up and some of the initiatives with state attorneys general in the United States and efforts by lawmakers to stop the World Health Organization from implementing this secretive treaty that no one really knows what's really in it because they are not disclosing all of the documents. So with that, then we plan to talk about, in the second half of the show today, a discussion of this absolutely outrageous New York Times plea for vaccine amnesty, whatever that is. It's absolutely devastating to think about how a newspaper could call for amnesty for something that has caused such devastating death and destruction worldwide. And we'll talk more about all of that in the second half today. So Jonathan Gilthorpe, Dr. Gilthorpe, tell us more about what you've been involved in with some of the meetings going on in Europe with initiatives to try and expose the WHO's lack of transparency on what's in the documents for this treaty they propose.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Lee. Happy to be on the show again this week. Yeah, I mean, things are gathering pace, I think, ahead of this WHO World Health Assembly on the 27th of May to the 1st of June, where they will attempt to force through a vote on these amendments to the international health regulations. And built upon that, this new pandemic treaty. But I think there's kickback coming back from a lot of countries. We've brought that up on the show previously. But I think in this last week, there was a letter sent to the Australian Prime Minister by 14 members of Parliament in Australia, stating that the WHO treaty and the amendments will transform the WHO from an advisory organization to a supranational health authority, which will then dictate how governments must respond to emergencies, which the WHO itself declares. And of you know, we're the ones that are going to be paying for this. The WHO doesn't have any money. It ran something like a $500 million deficit last year. They've just launched their accounts ahead of the World Health Assembly because they have to also vote on those kind of processes at this yearly meeting. So there's a lot of momentum gathering, I think, in different countries. What's really important is to bring that together, to get it to coalesce ahead of the WHA, and to get as many politicians to resist and sign letters as possible. So I picked up on this. It's something that came out on the 17th, so of May, so just very recently, and it's a letter which has been initiated by Christopher H. Smith, who's the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Global Health, Global Human Rights, and International Organizations. So this is basically a legal document, well, a letter which the aim is to get as many legally, democratic or elected officials to sign this letter as possible. And we can provide the link in the show notes. It's called reviewthewho.org. So any elected officials worldwide can sign this and demand that the WHO respect the rule of law. And this is based on three main points, which are very pertinent here. So the first is that the WHO needs to go through a valid voting process. And it states that an authentic roll call vote with a two-thirds majority must be documented and available for verification according to the WHO's own statutes. And without this proof, any agreement is null and void. The second point is the clear and final wording. So the term of any agreement must be explicitly defined within the document itself. It is unacceptable to use open-ended wording that defers crucial decisions to unaccountable committees. And this is also very relevant to what you mentioned in the intro, Dr. Lee, that no one's seen these documents yet. Nobody knows the final form of them, or at least no one in the public. So, we're going to be voting on things that, or not we, but our countries are going to be voting on things that nobody's seen and nobody's reviewed. And even worse, actually, in Sweden, the Swedish government have people on the WHA that will be there and involved in the negotiation, but the entire process is being negotiated through the European Union, through the EU. But the EU isn't a member state of the WHO. Sweden's a member state, France is, Germany is. Actually, Germany is one of the biggest contributors, along with the UK, after Gates, and the US. But the European Union is negotiating on behalf of Sweden. This is outrageous. And this is the same for many countries, where, or every country in Europe, actually. We're just having the wool pulled over our eyes, unfortunately.
That really is outrageous. What gives with the country ceding their authority for the EU to negotiate for them? I can't even understand the mindset of these elected officials who are absolutely failing to do their fiduciary responsibilities to their constituents in their own countries.
Yeah, I know it's shocking, Dr. Lee, but we've let it get to this stage, I'm afraid. I mean, I am as guilty, not as the politicians, because they're the ones that are doing it, but I have, taken no interest in politics these last 10, 15 years, really, because I thought it was all ticking along as it should be. It was only when COVID came that I realized, Houston, we have a big problem, that our politicians are actually leading us down a wild track to a digital prison.
They've sold us out, absolutely.
Yeah, they've sold us out completely. Yeah, but many of them think that they don't even think. I don't think they're aware of the situation, to be honest. I think we're better read up and advised on what's happening than anyone sitting in politics. Well, most people. And the last part was member-led negotiations. The Bureau's role should be solely to facilitate discussions, not to dictate outcomes. Negotiations must be transparent and inclusive, accommodating the capacities of all delegations, especially those from smaller countries. Ad hoc concurrent negotiations without proper notice or the translation violate the principles of international law. So a lot of this hangs on the fact that under the WHO's own statutes, any document that's voted on at the WHA, like the changes to the IHRs, must be in place and published 4 months before the meeting. And that's definitely not happened. They're still discussing them. So I think there will be legal cases against this, whatever happens in Geneva at the end of the month. There will be legal cases coming against this. And I think there'll be quite strong legal cases because there's a lot of people engaged now. So, but what people can do, if you're listening, you need to contact your highest up politician that you can contact and let them know that you're not happy with the role that they've played so far. And I would suggest doing that on the telephone. You can send an email, but you're not guaranteed they're going to read it. So send them a letter or try to do it by telephone and say, I seriously think that you might be prosecuted if this goes through, because this is, breaks the law. You're giving away our sovereignty and our human rights for nothing. So get on the phone, please, and agitate, because the more of us do that, the more likely we're going to have a breakthrough and stop this.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I know, Andrea, you recently did an interview with one of the leaders of the initiative in the United States to have state attorneys general write a combined letter to Joe Biden, our supposed president.
Yes, that's right. Hello.
Tell us
everybody.
About that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I had the interview with Mr. Joe Gebbia. He's the CEO of a company named State Shield. And he was involved in writing this letter from the attorney general, 22 of them. And all of them are Republicans. And that's important because he was also approached to Democrats, attorney generals, but they didn't accept it to sign it. And they're completely supporting what Joe Biden is doing according to this. And they send in the letter that this is not acceptable because we are giving away our sovereignty to unelected bureaucrats, like Jonathan said. And for that last pandemic, where they were had a huge impact, was terrible. And there was terrible led by this organization. And also they mentioned there was a huge impact of China in this procedure in WHO, and it's not acceptable at all. And if they decide anyhow to give this authority to sign this agreement, they will do anything to prosecute a government and also to stop not to implement this in their states. And this is very serious, but we have to say that it's a really fight against David against Goliath, because it seems to that Washington decided strongly to support this treaty, and that's why it's important now to make much higher pressure. We'll see what will bring next days. I think they postponed this decision for 2 weeks because still didn't negotiating all the details. But as Jonathan says, we don't know the details. We should know that 4 months ago already, but they find a way to avoid it, and now they are still negotiating behind the closed door. And of course, Tedros saying all the time that whoever is against this treatment, it's a conspiracy theorist and liar. And I heard him that he's saying that we are just spreading misinformation because this is not a power grab, but everybody see that it is.
Well, of course it is. And the more Tedros denies it's a power grab, the more everybody is convinced it is, because he has been basically a dictator from his own country. He has no medical background, and he's been acting as a puppet of the Gates organization and the CCP primarily.
That's right.
So, of course, Tedros is really a dictator puppet figurehead to ensure the movement towards global control and the digital prison that Dr. Gilthorpe mentioned. And I know, Dr. Eden, you've been active in the UK on these fronts. What are you seeing from there?
Hello, everybody. Dr. Mike Eden here in the UK. I'm seeing, I would say that there's an awareness that there will be a pressure to introduce digital ID, and it's causing vigorous debate, which is good. And just for your listeners, I point out again, as I have several times, that what I see coming towards this is something different than any other identification system, digital or not. And it's this that it'll be a single format to cover the world. That's never happened before. People say, oh, passports, and I've said, yeah, they've got 196 different kinds, so they're not the same, and they're also not interoperable. They can't be edited in real time as you pass a barrier, that sort of thing. So the introduction of a single global format digital ID is, I have to point out to people, it's malign, because you don't need a new digital ID to navigate through your world. And the evidence is your whole life, you've plenty of legitimate ways of identifying yourself. But I point out the people I call the perpetrators of all of these crimes, they want you to have a digital ID, and they want it because then they can control you. So whenever I speak to people, I point this out, that it's not just a matter of trusting your current government. You've got to trust every government in the future never to exploit this. And you can't do that. So, and I've said publicly, and I'll say it again, I'm going to reject this new format digital ID, which I'm sure they're going to insist we have at some point, for all sorts of pretend reasons. But I'm going to refuse it on principle for the reasons I've just outlined. And because, for example, ladies and gentlemen, you might be told you only need it to get on a plane or enter a large shopping mall initially. But for the stroke of a pen, you can be told you have to display it to go into anywhere, including every food store, or to get gas at the petrol station. And I think they will. And then they only need one other step, and to say the validity of this digital ID will turn on whether you have had the latest WHO recommended vaccines. So that's why I'm not taking it, because I will inevitably face that problem later, and I'm going to stay analog and recommend that you do as well. And that's a vigorous topic now, which is, you can almost have it in the street now, which is good news.
It really is amazing how many people are finally waking up to things that all of us have been screaming about for the last 4 years, and in some respects longer than that, about government control of medical care and the increasing intrusions into our privacy that have been going on really since on an escalating basis since the 9/11 attacks in the United States. That was the justification for implementation of the Patriot Act, which drastically allowed an increase in all of the supervision and government spying. And then when Obama initiated changes to the Smith-Mundt Act in 2012 and allowed propaganda and deception and lies to be legally used against American citizens, we have seen all of this explode in the lies and deception and deliberate propaganda campaigns against the US public and the world, if you look at what's happening in other countries. So I think you're absolutely right. And I think this is the prodrome, and the words digital prison say it all.
Yeah, I think it's also harked back what you mentioned there, Dr. Lee. We are literally enemies of the state. You know, if you listen to Sasha Latipova's work and Catherine Watt showing that the DOD, you know, ran this COVID campaign against humanity. So this is the, you know, highest levels of US government have been infiltrated. We are not citizens anymore. We are military targets, and people have been exposed to this, you know, COVID countermeasures, which were the vaccines, the toxic vaccines and other measures, including masking, etc. We are the subject of a war, and we are the victims we need to fight, because no one's going to come and save us, I'm afraid. There's no, you know, I liken this, and I think I often used to wonder this, you know, why most US action movies particularly always end up in the final scene with someone coming over, riding over the hill to save the day. It's also a Lord of the Rings and things like this, you know, but that's been drummed into us for the last 30 odd years, at least my memory, and probably even longer.
You're right. It's in my memory as well. Yeah, there's always someone, the helicopter flies over the hill to rescue the stranded special forces, or the government swoops in to rescue in the event of a disaster. I think you're right. And I think that's been trying to program us to wait for the rescue, not take steps on our own, wait and be dependent.
Yeah, we've been programmed for many
exactly
years.
Exactly right. And Andrea, I keep coming back to Andrea living under communism. Andrea, you know how the programming of the public takes place so insidiously in many ways, as well as quite blatantly in other ways.
Yeah, yes, you're right. But, well, Jonathan just mentioned this, that we are waiting for somebody to save us. I remember how Croatia became independent. And I remember at that time I was young, but I had a lot of information. And really a lot of countries in Europe didn't want us to be independent. And at the beginning of the war, they implemented embargo, that call is embargo, and we couldn't buy weapons to defend ourselves. And it was against the law. At the same time, everybody implemented that. That means that was decided in the United Nations. And at that moment, there was nobody to rescue us. And just because whole country was really decided to be independent, and no matter what, and willing to sacrifice even thousands of lives, finally we won against all odds we had at that moment. And this is example how we should also fight today, because as Jonathan says already, there will be nobody to save us. They will continue with this agenda. For sure, they want to take power grab in WHO and to implement new pandemic. They are waiting for new pandemic. They are ready already, but not only pandemic. It will be climate crisis. It will be everything. We need to respond. We need to say no. We need to be active, like four of us are all the time, last 4 years. And we have to really find more people who will be active, because there will not be any solution than any others, us or them. The only result will be this: who will survive, or they who will implement digital prison for all of us and new society, what is like communist China society, or we will fight again for our freedom and find a way how to reject all these globalists and all these elites who wants to put us in prison. And this is a really good example.
Well said, well said. And the bottom line from what all of us have said so far today is we are the solution we seek. It is only by our combined individual actions to stand against this tyranny and to speak out and demand that our voice be heard and our elected representatives take appropriate action to stop the tyranny that this will get stopped. Again, all of us are saying as a warning to everyone listening, there is no one coming to rescue us. We are the solution. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. We'll be right back after the break. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org. And if you are preparing to improve your health and resilience and deal with the threats that are coming at us with all of the threatening headlines about the next disease X, the next pandemic, and avian flu, and whatever else they concoct, check out our store, www.truthforhealthstore.com. We'll be right back.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body. And mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with our international team, Dr. Mike Eden, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Andrea Klarich, representing the UK, Sweden, Croatia, and of course, I'm in the US. And we wanted to talk further about this just outrageous New York Times article calling for a vaccine amnesty. You might want to look up the article on the New York Times, but also we're going to link a very in-depth analysis from a Substack author who calls himself a Midwest doctor. And this was published on May 12th, 2024, with an in-depth analysis of this infamous New York Times article, which, while it did bring attention to the serious COVID vaccine injured people, it also repeats many of the same strategic and harmful lies that have been used all along to protect the vaccine industry, particularly big pharma, but also employers who mandated the shots and public health officials who falsely assured the public that they were safe and effective. And one of the things that is seriously an issue in all of this, and a Midwestern doctor does a good job of analyzing this, and I encourage all of you to take time to read his full article, but it is the effectiveness of the propaganda campaigns that have programmed us ahead of time to accept what's coming, and also to program us to keep repeating the same talking points over and over and over. And Goebbels said at the time of World War II, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes truth in the mind of the public. And that's exactly what we've been seeing in all of this. So I'd like to get our team to share with you some thoughts about this propaganda and this monolithic approach from countries around the world and a lockstep in the media, and talk about how this has affected us and what are some of our next steps here, and how can we understand breaking through the false lies about safe and effectiveness and helping more people wake up to the dangers so that you don't keep getting these shots that are damaging your health and causing higher mortality rates. Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Gilthorpe and Andrea, I know you've all been dealing with the effects of propaganda and lies, and you've all been calling for stopping the shots. So let's talk about some of the falsehoods that were in the New York Times article and some of the things that people need to do.
I can just start off, maybe, Dr. Lee, to say, you know, this is not new, everybody. This is a situation that's already been dealt with at the end of World War II, when essentially you had Germany, where the vast majority of the population, you know, like 30, 40 million people, had all gone along with the Nazi regime. And when the Allies, you know, took back Germany at the end of World War II, predominantly the US, they had this situation to deal with where they had, you know, something like 30 million criminals. How do you try that number of people? You can't. There was the Nuremberg trials, which was essentially a show trial. I think 14 people were hung there for crimes against humanity. But the majority of the Nazi party and the key people in the Nazi regime were all spirited away to South America, to Central America, by the Allies, and others were obviously spirited away to Russia. You know, all the useful things that the Nazis had developed that could be used militarily or for intelligence were taken and used and put underground. I'm not saying that that's what's happening now, but the same problem where you have an enormous number of people that have committed a crime against humanity, some of them unknowingly, of course, but many of them knowingly, by vaccinating people with these deadly, you know, products, by covering up the numbers of side effects that were being reported, and you know, covering up the traces, and to the media, you know, also covering up the traces of cases where people have clearly been vaccine injured. There's a call here also for an unprecedented, you know, trial of people that have committed crimes here. But it would be impossible to to do that. So what's going to happen again is that, you know, the narrative will move on, the press will somehow try to make this sound much less than it was, and then eventually very little will happen, I predict. So the question is, how do we get the truth out there? How, or more importantly now, how do we get people help that are actually injured from vaccines, that need compensation, that need to have help in their lives because they're undergoing, you know, tremendous hardships or tremendous pains or have lost loved ones? That's one issue. The other issue is how to stop any more people getting vaccinated with these or injected with these harmful products. And, you know, the question of how do we get back to a state where we have a media that is some way not corrupt, that is actually acting as a third state that puts pressure on politicians to make sure they do their job and don't accept so many bribes and become corrupt as they are indeed at the moment, is a massive question. I don't know how to address that, Dr. Lee, to be honest.
Well, the watchdog press in the United States has gone the way of the dinosaur over the course of my lifetime. I mean, it really was set up to be a watchdog to hold government accountable for just the things you said. And media has become more and more lockstep as fewer and fewer corporations controlled all of the media outlets. And now in the era of big tech control, the censorship has been truly staggering. And I think all of us can look at some of the features of the campaign that was used to sell these COVID shots. Clearly, the public officials who pushed the shots knew they were dangerous, knew that death could be a side effect, knew that there were risks to fertility, knew that there had been miscarriages among pregnant women who got the shots early on, knew that cancer was a likely consequence. I mean, we were even talking about all of that potential in the summer and fall of 2020 on different points. Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Vodarg led the charge on a lot of that. And yet a lot of the work went into convincing everyone of certain things that we had never seen before with other vaccination programs. For example, they were talking ahead of time that, well, if you feel bad after you get the shot, that's normal. It means it's working. Over my medical career, I don't remember ever hearing that about any other shots. And then think about all of the ludicrous things that were done to coerce people to take it. I mean, they were giving out fast food gift certificates. They were giving out Krispy Kreme donuts. How stupid is that?
There was certainly, Dr. Lee, one that I found remarkable. And it was something along the lines of that if you, for example, were vaccinated and I was not, the inference was that I am a risk to you because I'm not vaccinated. You know, that I might breathe variants of this alleged illness and then bypass your vaccination immunity. It's just, it's literally one of the craziest things I've ever heard, because it says, it, for the first time in history, the efficacy of a medicine you take depends on whether I take it. But that was the pressure. Instead of saying, you know, you might get ill, Dr. Yeadon, why don't you take the jab? I would say, look, I'd rather take my chances because this is a new technology and you cannot possibly have sufficient safety data. So I'm going to take my chances with the illness and I'm not going to put you to any risk, because if you believe the vaccine works, you're already protected. But, you know, that didn't seem to work. It's the most mad logic. I genuinely thought we were going mad in 2021 when I heard those.
Well, I agree with you. And I don't know how many times I tried to explain to my patients that them getting the vaccine or the COVID shot, which wasn't a vaccine at all, is not going to protect someone else. And why, I mean, this idea that they could also be affected by me not getting the shot is so absurd. I agree with your analysis of that.
Yeah, but there was something similar that my mask protects you. That they, we were told that if you wear, if your mask protects me, and people were intoning this on the television. It's like, do me a favor. Either the mask is capable of filtering so-called infectious particles or it ain't. And if it does, then you won't be able to inhale them, will you? So, but again, it was impossible, just literally impossible. People would say, put your mask on. People yelled at me and used Anglo-Saxon words when I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah. No, I encountered the same thing. They were mad because I didn't have on a mask. It's like, really? You got one on? Why are you worried about what
exactly.
I
Exactly. I know. It's literally clinical insanity.
I have never seen anything like it in my lifetime. And it looked to me, watching all of this from the perspective of having been through lots of such programs in the past over my career, that they had, that the administration, particularly under Biden, because there were no mandates under President Trump. Nothing was mandated. In fact, in spite of the fact that people criticize Trump now for not making a strong statement about the dangers of the shots, and there may be some very strategic reasons that right at the moment he is not doing that, and I'm not going to try and second guess those, but never once under the Trump administration were there any mandates, and there was an effort to make early treatments, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, available that were thwarted at every step by the unelected bureaucrats in this country. And I spent a lot of time exposing that. So it was under Biden's administration that that administration started all of the messaging and enforced the mandates that were government directed and paid for in bribes to private companies to be the enforcers through coercion and threats of people losing their jobs, and the Biden administration issuing the mandates throughout the military and the shadow policies of not recognizing standard religious and medical exemptions that had always been part of the UCMJ and military regulations. So it was clear that their goal was to get anywhere from 70 to 80% of Americans to take these shots, regardless of what they had to do to achieve it and what lies they had to do. And I think also it was clear to most of us that the pressure was so intense here in the U.S., and you all can speak to your own countries, but it was so intense here in the U.S. that I think they knew they had a limited window of time to get this accomplished before the damage started to emerge and complications and side effects and sudden deaths and cancers and all of these devastating damages would begin to unfold and people would wake up. I think they knew they had a short period of time for that. And now what we're seeing, certainly here in the U.S., and you can comment on your countries, is massive numbers of Americans no longer trust the vaccination for anything, which I think there's good reason to have skepticism and to hold back on getting other shots as well. But they also don't trust their doctors because their doctors were paid to lie to them and paid to tell them these shots were safe and effective when they were not. And either the doctors were stupid and didn't bother to do their research, or they were corrupt. There really is very little middle ground on that. And so I think we're seeing a massive loss of trust in the American medical system and the whole program of vaccination. And so I think we're going to see a lot of consequences, not only in the deaths and complications, but also in the loss of trust in our institutions, whether it's the courts, the military, government, medicine, pharma, across the board. Mm-hmm. What are you all seeing in your countries on that front?
Maybe I can tell one interesting story, what I had with the main immunologist of Croatia. And there was one gathering, and all around media, public media, there was a message says, think of others, get vaccinated. And we knew from the start that vaccine doesn't stop spreading. But finally, when Jeanine Small admitted in the European Parliament, then everybody knew. And then I asked him, why you were sending a message, think of others and get vaccinated, when you knew that vaccine doesn't stop spreading? And you know what was his answer? He said, I didn't make marketing. I was not responsible for marketing. That was his message. But I want to mention concerning this New York Times demanding for amnesty, they are still pushing these vaccines. Still, in this moment in Croatia, you can take this vaccine. And even if you are pregnant with women, you can take vaccine. And this is something what is the main point. They want to amnesty for something what they've done, but they are still doing. And main question is why? I know why in Croatia pushed to have 70% of vaccinated people. It was money, because European Parliament, European Commission had a budget, and they gave budget for recovering after pandemic, but condition was to have 70% of people vaccinated. And I asked them, at that moment I had occasion to ask them, when in economy was condition for any kind of credit or financial support vaccination? That was first time in the history. I don't really remember, and I finished university, economic university, and MBA also, that was any kind of this kind of condition for financial support or any kind of credit. Of course, nobody can answer this question. There is a lot of unlogical things what we saw. And for sure, for me, there will be no amnesty before they answer the main questions.
Well, and perhaps are prosecuted for the crimes as well. And, you know, one of the things that clearly indicates just how serious the complications and damage are is the fact that in June of 2023, the J&J vaccine was pulled from the market, and recently the AstraZeneca vaccine for COVID was also curtailed, and global sales were banned for AstraZeneca. And people are now aware of the dangers of the mRNA technology, and we've seen Moderna's sales fall 91% in this year. So I think people are waking up to the dangers finally. But for those who've gotten the shots and the boosters, in a sense, it's too late, because the damage has been done and continues to be done in an ongoing basis, with the body making the spike protein and the toxicity of the lipid nanoparticles distributed around the body, and particularly in all of the endocrine organs. And Dr. Eden, you've been warning about that since 2020.
Or about the dangers of the vaccines themselves?
Yes, and the danger especially to the endocrine organs and to fertility.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I know a lot of people, I think I've mentioned before, you know, sort of a Jeremiah-like reputation. But when I look at having spent a career in the industry, not making vaccines, but making, with others, bespoke new medicines with a view to intervening, we hope, effectively and safely in some new disease or disease that's poorly treated. That plus my toxicology training makes me very attuned to looking at what might I expect from various features inside a molecule. So when I looked at the design of these materials, you know, I can see multiple independent, unnecessary, and therefore to me obvious causes of toxicity. So I will credit Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg with being the person who thought of the idea of putting all of these concerns into a letter. But he and I are the official authors of it, and we filed it with one of the agencies, the European Medicines Agency, before they began the campaign of injections. And I wish we'd been wrong. But within 18 months, every one of those concerned observations and predictions came true, including, it seems, reductions in live births. So I struggle how people who have heard that story aren't convinced that we're under attack, because I use my career-long expertise and to put reputation on the line to write it down and issue it publicly, and it was correct. That's not luck. It's because I could see what they were doing. And I personally believe that all mRNA-based injections, certainly for the mass market, mass audience, will also be harmful. So that's why I've said consistently, whatever you've done, whatever is done, but please don't take any more. Please don't allow people that you love and care about to take any more without listening to something like this.
Jonathan, you had some thoughts about how this unfolded in Sweden. And Sweden had a lot of differences from Europe and the US in how they managed the entire time during COVID.
Yeah, Dr. Lee, well, I mean, Sweden didn't have any hard lockdowns. They had restrictions. There were some school closures, but not for the youngest schools. So for, 14 and below or so, when children aren't legally allowed to be home without a guardian. So they kept a lot of schools open. And I guess, whatever was around, well, excess deaths haven't been as severe as other countries, even though the rate of vaccination was high in Sweden, but they have climbed, and particularly in certain categories like young cancer in younger ages. There have been surges of those, in certain kinds of breast cancer for 40-odd-year-old women, for example, and cardiac disease, and also in young people for those. So there's definitely been effect of the vaccines on the population. Fertility has crashed, or the birth rate has crashed, I should say. Don't know about fertility as such. But, if the WHO plans go through, then Sweden won't have that option to act as it did in the last pandemic, which the results for Sweden was catastrophic, but it's not nearly as bad as it's been for other countries where the excess deaths have been much higher. Japan, let's say, or Germany. The thing that worries me, though, is that, we talk about this possibility of an amnesty. The thing is, if Sasha Latipova and Catherine Watt are correct, this was a DoD operation. The laws have been systematically changed over the past decades to remove any ability to try people for crime in this case, because it's not a crime, because it's a military operation. And these were military countermeasures. These are classed as though they're weapons. The secrecy is at the same level as military weapons. So I don't know if any of these cases, it'll be very interesting to see how, for example, Bree Dresson's case against AstraZeneca pans out in the US. Perhaps because Astra's not Pfizer or Moderna, it might go through, but I don't know how these things were classified in Europe. Nobody's got to the bottom of that yet, whether they also have some kind of protection, because these were, not really medical products. We sold the illusion they were medical products, but they weren't.
No, you're right. And that still today is something that most people do not know. Yeah. And sadly, too many of the people across America still think that they were FDA approved, which none of them were. And to this day, are still being given under emergency use authorization as covered countermeasures, exactly what you've just been saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is when this comes down to, I would like to see what happens. And we saw this with Brooke Jackson's court case that we've talked about, that when it got heavy and it got to the point that she might actually be getting traction against Pfizer for the case she brought, then the US government stepped in and basically, shut things down, or made a statement, made it very clear that who was the boss. And I fear that this might also happen. I think the government is captured. The Biden administration is entirely captured. So I'm not sure. It will take some very special judges or some very special legal expertise to try and unpick this one. And I think we should follow those cases carefully because it will give us a hint as to what's, you know, whether these were classified and there is any legal course of action for anyone that was injured or not.
No, I think that's a very good point. And I really urge everyone listening today, please take the time to read the in-depth analysis of the New York Times article by a Midwestern doctor. He has done an extraordinary job of really pulling together a careful analysis with examples of where the false statements lie and what the New York Times was trying to accomplish in this call for amnesty, when essentially they are blaming the victim. The bottom line is, in the careful wording of much of the article, the New York Times is pretending to issue an apology, but in effect is blaming the victim for having caused the problem and refusing to acknowledge the guilt of those in power who foisted this bioweapon on all of us in the US and around the world. This is the Whistleblower Report today, and we urge all of you, get educated, get informed, read the information that we've linked in the show notes, and urge your elected officials to stand against the WHO tyranny. We cannot have the world subjected to these crimes against humanity with more lockdowns over false pandemics and fear-mongering, and use that as a coercion to enforce more of the experimental bioweapon mRNA shots that they are already promoting for bird flu and monkeypox and whatever other, now Ebola. These are coming at us. All of you listening, you do not want to go down this road of another COVID tyranny escalated on steroids. Stand against it. Join us in this crusade and sign up for our email alerts and newsletters so that you can be part of the solution with all of us. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again with another Whistleblower Report. Stay tuned.